Blog Talk Radio.
An all-access football exclusive.
Woo! Can't stop, won't stop, baby. It's another edition. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. You know how we do it each and every Sunday, exclusively on the Fantasy Sports Channel. I am your host, Rick Saratella. Join with me, I have the stars of the show, the men of the hour. That would be Ross Stradamus, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, the good Reverend Fresh Out of Church. Say hello to the people.
Hey, Chumfanti, All Access Fantasy Express, all aboard, baby.
Woo-hoo! All the tricks are gone. It's time for some Sunday treats, baby.
Let's do this, because this is how we break it down each and every week. You know how we do it. NFLDraftBible.com, official sponsor of the show. Oh, boy, we got all kinds of happy
people. It is
Blog
Talk Radio.
It's Blog Talk Radio, sponsoring the Fantasy Sports Channel. Check them out, www.fsc.fm. That's www.fsc.fm. We are NFLDraftBible.com. We got a lot of good things coming up there. So Content Factory Machine, make sure you check that one out. The chat room is open. My computer's having some difficulties as we speak, so we'll get to the chat room questions in a second. We're going to get right into our weekly rundown. If you're new to the show, first-time listener, we go around the league, stud, duds, and sleeper style. We'll break down each and every game for you. We're going to have injury updates as well, and we're going to be answering your questions. First game on the docket, it's a pretty big one. Playoff implications on the line. AFC battle between the Denver Broncos, 6-0, still remaining undefeated, heading into Baltimore this week, Reverend, where the Ravens are 3-3, and if they want to stay in the thick of things, they need this win because they have Cincinnati coming up next week. So big game here. Why don't you break it down for the people now?
Yeah, Denver, Baltimore, both teams coming off their byes. I like Brandon Marshall in this game. He's my stud. He isn't putting up his typical yardage numbers, but he has scored 4 touchdowns. And I think he has a strong chance of hitting pay dirt in this matchup versus a secondary that can be overpowered in press coverage. You know, nobody in that group quite matches up with Marshall in terms of size and strength. And, you know, you're talking about, what, Fabian Washington, Dominique Foxworth, that cornerback. You know, that's not exactly Chris McAllister and Samari Roll in their primes. I also like Ray Rice as a stud here. I don't love him as a runner since Denver is holding offenses to 79 yards rushing per game, but he will be seeing lots of quick throws go his way to combat the likes of Elvis Dumeril and company coming with the blitz. The dud here, and this is a guy that we're all high on, but I don't like him so much this week, and I'm talking about no Sean Moreno. You know, I don't think this is a great matchup for the rookie. The Ravens may not be the run-stuffing group they were in years past, but Ray Lewis and the boys are still a top-10 unit in defending the run, and opponents are only averaging 3.5 yards per carry against them. Plus, Moreno really didn't show much power versus San Diego a couple of weeks ago on Monday Night Football. I think Carrell Buckholter, looked better in that game. The sleeper is Mr. Kyle Orton. He has to give the guy his due. It's a little bit of a risky pick here, but Orton, I think, may see an uptick in his usual numbers since the Ravens could very well force the former Chicago Bear to win this game for the Denver Broncos. Orton usually does a good job of spreading it around instead of locking on to one guy, which often leads to big mistakes. So go with Kyle Orton as a sleeper here. I think it's going to be a very close game. I think points are going to be scored. I like Baltimore here because they are the home team primarily. I'm going to go with Baltimore in a close one, 27-26.
I'll buy that. Let me ask you this, though. You mentioned no Sean Moreno. No Sean Moreno today or Beanie Wells today?
Beanie Wells.
All right. You're on the record, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I got a bone to pick with you, Rev, with a couple things there. I don't think Baltimore's defense is a top-10 run defense anymore. Look at the stats. Well, you can look at the stats or you can look at the film. I forget which game it was going back, but a couple weeks ago, there was a couple games where I just seen teams run all over them, and they couldn't stop the run to save the life of them. And I think Denver has a very good running game.
However, they're coming off a bye week. They're well-rested. So you have to think that that defense
they don't
is
have
gonna,
it.
Is gonna
they don't have the body.
Go.
No, I'm sorry. And
Ray Lewis is still there. Haloti Ngata is still. A lot of the same guys are still there.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
I don't think they are, man.
The only guy that's
not
there is
honest.
Bart Scott, who's no longer there.
And you said Kyle Orton's a risky play. I think how is he a risk? 9 touchdowns, 1 interception. That Ravens secondary is shoddy.
Okay, the only reason why I said that is because if you're looking for the big numbers, I think he's a risky play. He's generally a conservative quarterback. The reason why I'm picking him this week is because I think he's going to need to throw it a little bit more than he usually does, take a few more chances.
I'm on the bandwagon.
It's a tough matchup for Denver, but, you know, the proof's in the pudding. They've been able to hang close, and I don't disagree with your one-point score. I just think that Marino's going to be able to get some work done.
I think Denver wins this game easily.
Ooh.
Changing of the guard.
Woo!
All right, guys, the chat room's heating up. This is Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mantini, breaking it down for the people now. Let's get down to some chat room questions before we get into our next matchup, taking them one at a time. First one, we got Dr. Wine in the house. I like that, baby.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco, Brett Favre, or do you pick up Eli Manning this week?
No, do not pick up Eli Manning this week. Go with Brett Favre.
I buy that, Rev.
I like Favre
to pull it out in Green Bay.
I'm going to go with Flacco here. I don't know where Favre's head is at. He's going back home to Green Bay. He could be flustered. I don't think the fans are going to give him a warm reception this week.
No, I think you're wrong about that.
I don't know. He looked pretty good last time they played. Ravens defense or Packers defense, guys?
Ravens defense or Packers defense?
Ravens got the Broncos. Packers got the Vikings.
I think I'm going to go with the Ravens. As I said, they're coming off their bye. They're well-rested. I think they're going to be raring to go, and they really need this ball game.
Yeah, I agree. I take the Ravens, but I'd rather have Detroit than either one of them.
Yeah, hey, you never know. Guest 89 in the house. Starter, Frank Gore at Indianapolis or Thomas Jones versus Miami in a PPR league, fellas?
I'm going to go with Jones this week.
I think Jones easily. I don't like Gore that much this week.
Okay. Standard league needs 2. D'Angelo Williams, Kevin Smith, or Thomas Jones. Process of elimination here. Which one do you cancel out?
Wow.
Well, I like D'Angelo Williams best as a runner individually, but I think I'm going to go with Kevin Smith and Thomas Jones here. I think they have the better matchups. Kevin Smith, I can just see him going wild today versus the Rams. And Thomas Jones, hey, you can't argue with those numbers. He's been scoring every week for the past 4 or 5 weeks. You have to roll with him.
I don't know. I've never been a huge fan of Kevin Smith. It's just hard for me to sit a stud like D'Angelo Williams for somebody like
that. Yeah,
Kevin
I can't sit Jones or Williams in favor of Smith, even though I think the Lions are actually going to score points and win today. Of the three there, the one who strikes me as unable to come up with a huge day as opposed to the other two is Kevin Smith, so I'd sit him.
Guest 94 in the house. How you doing? PPR league. 10 points for a rushing touchdown. Beanie Wells. PT Cruiser. Or Mike Bell or LeSean McCoy. We got 10 points for a touchdown here. Beanie Wells, Pierre Thomas, Mike Bell, LeSean McCoy need 2.
You know, I think I'm going to go with both Saint running backs here. You know, a guy like Mike Bell, he might not get 20 carries a game, but you know this guy's virtually guaranteed of scoring in each and every game with that in that offense. And then Pierre Thomas, I think this is a nice matchup for him going up against an undersized defensive unit in the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to go with those two guys.
I'm going to go Beanie Wells. I like playing the hot hand, and I like Pierre Thomas, who's going to get the bulk of the work there. I like the guys who are going to get the most touches. That's how I do it.
And just to confuse you further, I'm going with Beanie Wells and LeSean McCoy. I don't think Westbrook's going to play. I think the Giants' defense is ready to be burned by Philly today, so I like
I just
LeSean
think
McCoy.
The Eagles spread the wealth too much. You know, Pierre Thomas, you know he's going to get 20 touches. LeSean McCoy, the Eagles don't run the ball.
Yeah, I wasn't very impressed by McCoy last week.
Tony Romo or Matt Shaw, you get a bonus for over 300 yards. Who's going to hit that marker this week? Romo is going up against the Seahawks. Schaub has the
Bills in Buffalo. I don't like Schaub in Buffalo today. I'm going with Romo.
I have to agree. I like Tony Romo. I don't see Seattle doing much of anything versus Dallas today.
I think Houston's going to put up some points. I'm going to go the other way, Matt Schaub. I just don't want Tony Romo as my quarterback when I want to win anything.
Well, better hope that it's nice weather in Buffalo.
Okay, need three guys. PPR league, chat room heating up, fantasy football insiders. This is how we get down. PPR league, Steve Slayton, Kevin Smith, LeSean McCoy, Ahmad Bradshaw, Glenn Coffey. Need three. Steve Slayton is the automatic lock. Kevin Smith, LeSean McCoy, Ahmad Bradshaw, Glenn Coffey. I think you take Coffey and Bradshaw out of the mix.
Yep.
Coffey is the backup now. Bradshaw is all banged up with the foot injury. So I think LeSean McCoy, Kevin Smith, the first three guys. Would you guys agree?
I'm with you. It's a pretty easy decision here.
Okay. What else we got going on? Standard league, Frank Gore or Marion Barber, guys?
Frank Gore. I like Frank Gore better just because he's playing much better. Forget about the matchups. I saw MV3 last week. He doesn't look like he's 100%.
He's like the closer now.
Yeah.
You know, he's like pitching the eighth and ninth inning.
Honestly, I like Felix Jones a lot better. I thought he looked fresh last week, a lot more explosive than MV3.
Okay, let's go. Dr. Warren in the house. I like me some Cabernet as well. Anquan Boldin or Joshua Cribbs, PPR and return yard league?
Well, Cribbs is certainly going to have his chance to have return yards, but I think you got to go with Boldin. He's going to be a little healthier, and he's definitely going to find the end zone today in that game. And also, just compare both offenses. I mean, Cleveland is just a mess, whereas, you know, Boldin is just part of an offensive scoring machine.
If I thought that Mangini was smart enough to use Cribbs out of the Wildcat, I'd go with Cribbs, but he backed away from it.
I heard they're going to use Cribbs in the Wildcat more this week, and I think this one's closer than you think.
No, I think it's close.
I like Cribbs' upside. He's a playmaker on offense. He can go the distance, and he's going to, like you said, he's going to get his opportunity to return. Bolden's banged up. He proved last week again that he can still catch three balls for 75 yards. And I actually just traded for Anquan Boldin, but I'm gonna take a, you know, this is how you do it. If you got a nice cushion lead like I do, and you're smashing the competition, go with the upside, roll the dice, take Joshua Cribbs. If you're in the thick of things, middle of the pack, you need to play conservative and safe, then you go Boldin.
Well, I look at it this way: who has a better chance of scoring? I think it's Boldin.
I do too.
Okay. How about which one do you drop here, Hakeem Nicks or Austin Collie?
Oh boy.
Instead of who? I mean, who you dropping for?
You got to drop a guy, I guess. I would drop Austin Collie myself. I like how Nick's.
This is for the rest of the season and not for this week.
Right.
I think I'm going to have to go with Collie just because, you know, Anthony Gonzalez is going to come back at some point, and you have so many options out there, so many targets for Peyton Manning that I don't know if Austin Collie is a guy you can depend on week in and week out.
Yeah. I mean, at best, Collie is the third look. And at best, Nix is the first look for the Giants. I mean, that's how I look at it.
Okay, guys. We don't have an update yet on Brian Westbrook. If we do throughout the show, we'll definitely update you there, and we'll talk about that when we get to that game. That's actually one of the last games we're going to preview, so hopefully by then we do have an update on Brian Westbrook. Yeah, he has Anquan Boldin, Mike Sims-Walker, and Miles Austin, so that's why he had to drop one of those guys. Very good. 25-75 PPR league. I guess this is a performance league. Needs to start two of the following running backs: Moreno, Ray Rice, McCoy, or Sean Green. First mention of Sean Green this week, and we'll talk about him. Big bust out.
Need to start two
performance league here.
I'm going Rice and McCoy myself with those.
You know, I'm not crazy about McCoy or Moreno this week, but I think I'll go with Rice and Moreno.
I go Rice and Moreno as well. Need two in a PPR league: Ryan Grant, Kevin Smith, and Thomas Jones.
Thomas Jones. I'm definitely going to go with Thomas Jones here. I'm not crazy about Grant this week. In that last game versus Minnesota, you know, they did a good job of limiting him to about 50 or 60 yards. I think I'm going to go with Smith and Jones here.
I agree.
Makes it unanimous. Let's see. Woo! Chat room is on fire, baby. JoJo forgot to say Ryan Grant. I don't know which question. If you get back to us, we'll answer that one. PPR league, need a flex. LeSean McCoy, Justin Fargus, Felix Jones, Ahmad Bradshaw, Vasanti Shanker, boy, you're making our heads spin. PPR league, need a flex player. Who's the best option, guys? LeSean McCoy, Justin Fargus, Felix Jones, Ahmad Bradshaw, Vasanti.
He needs one player.
One player.
I'm going to go with Felix Jones here. He's one of my sleeper picks of the week. I love what I saw out of him last week. He looked fresh, explosive. They're going to use him on kickoff returns. So I think he's going to be getting a lot of action this week, and I didn't like what I saw out of Marion Barber III. So, and besides, look at his matchup. He's going up against Seattle. I'm sorry, that team does not scare me. So I want to go with Felix Jones here.
Yeah, I like Felix Jones, especially if your league counts return yards, because as the Rev said, he will be returning kicks. But I'm telling you guys, I think LeSean McCoy is going to catch a lot of passes this week. I don't think the Eagles are going to run it at all, but I think he's going to catch a lot out of the backfield.
Based off of what? I just don't see it.
Based off the fact that they're not going to run the ball.
Here's the thing I don't like about McCoy. Number one, he looked a little hesitant at times. Number two, he didn't look very, very good at pick up the blitz last week either. So I'm thinking that there might be a little bit of a rotation there with some running backs.
I can buy that.
You might see a little bit of Leonard Weaver in there, a little bit of Buckley in there. So, you know, I think McCoy's going to get the majority of touches, but I don't think he's going to be the real plow horse in this game.
I like your logic with Felix Jones, and I would go that way just because Justin Fargus is starting to get on my nerves.
Not his fault.
All right, guys. Need to start two running backs, two wide receivers. Let's take them one at a time. D'Angelo Williams, Beanie Wells, Ray Rice. If you ask me, I eliminate Beanie Wells from that equation.
Yeah.
Okay. We agree on that. Okay. Nate Burleson, Greg Jennings, Roddy White, or Sidney Rice. You need two of those guys. I'm definitely going to play Sidney Rice because he's the red hot. I would go probably Roddy White over Greg Jennings.
It's White and Rice.
There you go. Wide receiver three, Nate Washington or Pierre Garcon?
Wow. Vince Young, the Nate Washington hookup?
I'm going to go with Nate Washington here just because in that ball game between Tennessee and Jacksonville, you have two teams that have probably the worst pass defenses in the NFL. So I think both quarterbacks are going to be able to throw the ball around. I know Vince Young is starting, but I still think Nate Washington should be able to do some damage in that game.
Here's an X factor, though. He is starting Reggie Wayne. I might go with the insurance policy there.
I don't know. I don't think it matters. I don't want to rely on Vince Young throwing my guy a deep pass, so I'm going with Garcon.
I'm
going to
go with Garcon.
But remember with Garcon, though, you could always run the risk of him only coming up with one reception
for
5 yards.
Absolutely.
It's a boom or bust pick.
But the other side of the equation is you have Vince Young having to throw Nate Washington passes.
But who's he going up against? Jacksonville. Without a machine match.
Honestly, dude, it's Vince Young. I mean, he's got to show me he can do it.
All right, guys. JoJo is back in the chat room. He missed our answer on his dilemma. Steve Slayton, Kevin Smith. It was the first three guys that we liked. JoJo, we liked Steve Slayton, Kevin Smith, and Ryan Grant.
Wasn't Ryan Grant.
No.
Is it Thomas Jones?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we definitely like Slayton and Kevin Smith. Who's the third guy? Ryan Grant with Sean McCoy. Who do you like there?
Oh, wow, that's close. I think I'd have to go with Grant there.
I'm going to go with Grant, even though I don't love him.
I'm going to go Grant. And, JoJo, just so you know, our logic is Ahmad Bradshaw is banged up with a foot injury. Glenn Coffey's back as a reserve. He's not going to touch the ball more than five times. Walkie 33 in the house. PPR needs to start one with Andre. Hester, Steve Smith, the Giants, Steve Smith, Knicks, or Kotchery. Well, you know, hey, that's... Need to start one. Boy, that's a tough question. Devin Hester, Steve Smith, Hakeem Nicks, or Kotchery?
I'm going with Hester.
I'm going with Hester,
too.
I love Jay Cutler this week. I think he's going to throw the ball all over the field against that putrid team. The Bears need this game. They are playing at home. I'm going to go with Hester.
I like that match.
I think Johnny Knox is the guy in Chicago.
I like him, too.
And I'm going to go... Again, if I'm in the lead and I got a nice cushion lead, I'm gonna roll the dice. I like Kotchery for a bounce back week this week. I would roll the dice and go with Kotchery myself.
Yikes.
I think it's a bad matchup.
Let's see here. Chat room heating up today. All right, I think we're caught up on chat room questions, but keep them coming. We'll be answering them all show long. This is Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. sponsored by the NFLDraftBible.com, exclusively on the Fantasy Sports Channel, www.fsc.fm. If you're listening in on iTunes, you can go to blogtalkradio.com. You can go to fsc.fm, get yourself a free account. You can sign in as a guest, get down in the chat room like we always do, heating up like a great ball of fire for this week number 8 holiday. It's time to discuss the second matchup of the week, stud duds and sleeper style, and that is the Houston Texans traveling into Buffalo, where the Bills, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick working some magic over there, Ross, two wins in a row, and believe it or not, if they beat the Texans this week, they'll have the same record. The Texans at 4-3, the Bills at 3-4. Break it down for the people now.
You got it. First, worth noting, Andre Johnson is expected to play today despite his bruised lung, which is kind of scary sounding. But let's get to it here. Look, last 3 weeks, Matt Schaub, over 1,000 yards passing and 8 touchdowns. That's just in the last 3 weeks. You got to start him today. I'm a little wary about Houston in that weather and Schaub's arm in that weather. Steve Slayton, he's getting those goal line carries. And against the Buffalo run defense, I see him finding the end zone at least once today. Obviously, Andre Johnson will go off. Buffalo's pass defense is okay, but really, What kind of receivers have they faced with the likes of Andre Johnson? I also like Lee Evans in this game, guys. It seems to me that Mr. Fitzpatrick is getting something going with Lee Evans, and he's actually said, Evans is my guy, which you know T.O. is going to be on air crying about after this game when Evans goes off. The dud in this one, and I hate saying this because I love the guy as a football player, but Freddie Jackson, man, he touched the ball, I think, only 5 times last week. With Marshawn Lynch back, I don't know that I'm buying into that as far as the Bills' success goes, but that's the way it's looking. And obviously, T.O. is essentially useless. 18 catches all season, guys. And with Fitzpatrick saying Evans is his guy, I can't see T.O., you know, extending over the middle more than the 25% that he does anyway. My sleeper in this game, you're going to have to get out 2 shovels to dig for this sleeper. That's Andre Davis. Look, the guy was out with a concussion. He ran with the first team when Andre Johnson this week was sitting out because of his lung injury. With that passing attack that Houston has, I think there's always room for the third receiver to score. And I think Andre Davis isn't a crazy bye week fill-in for a deep sleep this week. And I see the Texans winning this game, but it's going to be lower scoring than you think. I think they're going to win 20-10.
From the man who brought you Sam Aikens.
Oh,
last
yeah,
week.
Baby.
Ross, you've been digging in the crates this week.
Where's
Pat
at? Yep.
All right, guys. Back over to the chat room. Ralph, non-PPR league needs 2 running backs, Frank Gore, Steven Jackson, Buckhalter, Bush, or McGahee.
Which Bush?
Reggie Bush.
Yeah, to me, it comes down to the first 3, Gore, Jackson, or Buckhalter. I'm telling you, I'm definitely going to go with Steven Jackson this week. You know, he has like over 600 yards rushing, no touchdowns. I think he scores this week, not once, but twice. And as far as Gore goes, look, it's not a great matchup, but he is going to get about 95% of the carries in that offense. And on top of that, you know, the Rams did a pretty decent job running the ball against the Colts last week. So, look, it's not a great matchup, but I could see him definitely putting up between maybe 60, 70, maybe even 80 yards and maybe scoring even a touchdown. As far as Buckhalter goes, I love the way he's playing this year, but I don't love his matchup, and plus he's splitting carries at Sean Moreno. I'm going to go with Gore and Jackson here.
I'm with you. I agree as well. Reggie Bush, guys, is this guy going to bring anything to the table? Is he going to make anything out of his career?
I think Bush, you have to view him as like an occasional flex play, you know, in a matchup where you just know the Saints are going to put up like 40 points. But other than that, it's not a guy you want to start.
Man, Reggie Bush or Ahmad Bradshaw this week?
I'm going with Bradshaw. You know what? He's got his ankle's a little dinged up, and he's got a busted toe. I don't care,
man. And you know what really,
I don't care.
You know what really hurts Bush, too, now, is the emergence of Mike Bell.
Agreed. Yeah. There's no room.
Yeah.
There's like 9 guys on that team.
Well, let me ask you about Mike Bell. Reggie Bush, you're out of here. Let me ask you about Mike Bell. Needs 2 in a PPR league. Mike Bell, Steven Jackson, Ray Rice, or Chris Johnson?
Well,
needs 2.
Bell's a distant 4th in that. I'm going with...
I'm going to go Ray Rice and Chris Johnson.
We have to go with Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
Chris Johnson and who? I'm sorry, who?
Steven Jackson.
I'm going with Jackson and Johnson.
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
Double J.
Jay Cutler or David Garrard this week? Cutler's going up against the Browns. Garrard's going up against the Titans.
I think that Jacksonville's going to run the ball more than we expect them to, and I love Cutler today against Cleveland at home.
I like both guys. I like Cutler a little bit more.
Need two wideouts, Andre Johnson, Miles Austin, Devin Hester. Do we agree that Devin Hester is the odd man out?
Yeah,
yes.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Who else we got coming? Bring them on. Is Calvin Johnson playing or is it a game-time decision? It is a game-time decision. I actually traded Calvin Johnson. I was talking about it before we went on the air. I traded Calvin Johnson in my Dynasty League. And I got Wes Welker, baby.
And I have to start Stafford today because Brady's off. I hope Calvin Johnson plays.
Oh, boy. the boys are in the house. Running back, non-PPR, Frank Gore, Steven Jackson, Buckholzer, Reggie Bush, Willis McGahee.
We did that one.
Gore and Jackson. All right, guys. Going around the league of mystery and intrigue.
You're just afraid to get to that throwing game that's up next?
Reggie Wayne is playing.
Yeah, Reggie Wayne's going to play, man. He's fine.
Should you sub Calvin Johnson for Donnie Avery or Steve Breston this week?
I think you wait with your finger on the trigger till right before that game starts so you see if Johnson's playing. If he's playing, he's paying. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I think even if Calvin Johnson is playing this week, I go Donnie Avery myself.
Oof.
He's really emerged as the go-to guy in St. Louis.
What does that mean, though?
It means he has a better chance of scoring.
I don't know if Johnson plays. He's having
Matt Schaub or Donovan McNabb? I love McNabb this week. You guys agree?
I actually agree with you, and I'm not a big McNabb fan, as you guys know, but he plays well against the Giants, guys.
Yeah, honestly, I don't like the way McNabb is playing this year, but...
I don't either, but this is the Giants in Philly. Yeah, always, I'm telling you guys,
what,
look up the numbers.
I don't think he's playing that well.
He didn't look good throwing the ball last
week.
The week before he did.
The week before?
He's only played three games since he's been back. The week before was Oakland.
Yeah, he was off the mark all game.
Well, the week before that he looked.
Okay, the week that was like 3 weeks ago.
Okay, well, hey, you know what?
I think he has a big day, and I don't trust Schaub in
really
bad weather.
I'm sorry, I can't bench Schaub, not when I have McNabb as my other option.
Guys, I got to tell you right now, the Giants' secondary is their biggest weakness. They're going to get exposed by DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin.
Of course
Maclin.
They are.
Yeah.
Of course they are.
I love DeSean Jackson.
And Jeremy Macklin's going to really be...
I'm telling you, man, it's not going to be pretty today.
Okay.
Better on the other New York team.
Non-PPR, flex position... Who serves as the best option here? Owen Daniels, Antonio Gates, Carolina Steve Smith, Reggie Bush, Willis McGahee, Carell, Buckholzer. Which player stands out? Which player would you go with?
Wow. Whoever thought you'd be considering starting a tight end over a Carolina Steve Smith? But those are two pretty good tight end options there. Non-PPR?
No one really stirred up.
I go with Gates.
I go with Gates too.
I go with Steve Smith because this is when you go with the stud.
Is he a stud though? With Jake DeLone throwing the ball?
When in doubt, go with your stud. The guy can make plays happen. He's got more upside than any one of those guys.
Yeah, but I love the way Phillip Rivers is throwing the ball.
I mean, he's done it so many years with Jake DeLone. There might be some magic once or twice.
Yeah, but it was only a few weeks ago.
I don't think
he had one reception for 4 years.
I don't think Jake DeLone's finishing that game.
It's all about the upside, with or without Jake DeLone. Big Truth 27. I guess that's a Brandon Jacobs reference. Drop Eli Manning for Mike Wallace, then packaged Mike Wallace with Mario Manningham and got Marion Barber. Was that a good move?
I'm not crazy about Marion Barber. He hasn't been healthy all season.
No, and why did you drop Eli Manning? I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Barber.
Here's the only way I can justify that trade. If you have Felix Jones and Bashard Choice on your team, I can see you making that move.
Yeah, but you're not playing all three of them at once.
All right, guys, let's get back into the games because we got to stay on pace here. Cleveland Browns 1-6. A lot of controversy surrounding this team. More news out of Cleveland. We won't get into it right now. Chicago Bears 3-3 hosting the Browns. We just talked about the receivers for the Bears. I think Johnny Knox has emerged as a go-to guy there, in my opinion. You still got Devin Hester, Earl Bennett in the mix, but break it down for the people, Ralph.
Okay. Well, the laugher of the week, I love Jay Cutler here. Look for the enigmatic Cutler to bounce back in a big way versus a defense short on playmakers. On the season, the Browns have only produced 3 interceptions. In addition, this team gives up a lot of big plays. Over the past month, Cleveland has surrendered touchdowns of 45, 52, 71, and 72 yards in the air. Chicago has too much speed at wide receiver and tight end here. The dud is Mr. Mohamed Mazraoui, perhaps one of the few bright spots of that Cleveland offense. He's really the only viable option in Cleveland's so-called passing game, but defenses are starting to key in on him, and he's only caught 1 reception in 2 of his last 3 games. The Browns just don't score enough points to warrant starting the rookie. The sleeper here, as Rick referenced before, I love Johnny Knox this week. Prior to last week, Johnny Knox, a.k.a. the Texas Torpedo, scored in 3 of his last 5 games. Expect Knox to turn on the Jets and find the end zone again versus a Browns secondary that has given up 7 touchdowns this year to wide receivers. Have no fear, Browns fans. The bye week is only 1 week away. By the way, I think Matt Forte is a sleeper here, too. I think finally this week, Forte will join in the fun. Every running back scores versus the Browns. A bad offensive line won't matter this week. I love Chicago Bears at home in a must-win game. Chicago 41, Cleveland 13.
I think that's way too many points for Chicago. I think the game's actually going to be close until the very end. And just keep in mind, Hester had 8 catches for 101 yards and a touchdown last week.
Okay, well, listen, hey, Hester has 14 catches, 184 yards the last 2 games, so he's still a very prominent piece to the puzzle there. 41 points, that's a big margin there, Ralph. So let me ask you this, Jay Cutler or Kurt Warner this week?
Wow. You know, I'll go with Warner over Cutler just because I think Warner is the more reliable guy. But if you're looking for upside, I'll tell you, Cutler has the bigger upside this week, but Warner's a safer pick.
I think it's Warner, no
problem. I'll go with Warner.
I don't like what I've been seeing out of Jay Cutler this week.
All right, guys, let's not forget, too, a couple weeks ago, Jerome Harrison had 121 yards, your boy Ross. Against
That's true. They put it back in the coffin, though.
All right, guys, let's keep it moving here. Let's get in on the next one. Seattle Seahawks 2-4. A little friendly visit from Julius Jones as they head into Dallas, where the Cowboys are 4-2, fresh off a 37-21 victory over the Falcons last week. Things seem to be on the up and up for the Cowboys, Ross.
Yes, they do. I'm a little nervous about it as a Giants fan. And take a look at Matt Hasselbeck's been practicing all week. He should play at least for the first series until he gets crushed and knocked out of the game.
Will they play an offensive tackle?
I think the three of us are the right side of the offensive line for Seattle. Dallas is going to use this one to build a little momentum.
Let me stop you right there, Ross, because at 2-4, let's say this game does get out of hand.
Uh-oh.
Hasselbeck gets
He's going Mike Teal.
Oh, is there a Mike Teal fighting in Seattle, baby? Seattle needs to change their Teal.
Why not? Look, to me, forget Romo, forget Austin. The stud in this game is the Dallas defense. There is no offensive line for the Seahawks. There's going to be sacks. There's going to be minimal points scored by Seattle. There's going to be interceptions. I'm telling you, Dallas' defense is going to go nuts today. And it's time to accept that Miles Austin is a potential top 5 receiver every week.
Yeah.
And this week is one of them. You must play him. Seattle's D is banged up. I think he's the clear number one now. Roy Williams is like a thing of the past out there. They're admitting, they're going to have to admit they made the mistake in trading for him, but it doesn't matter. As long as they win, no one will care. Don't look for a Cedric Benson-like revenge game like he had last week against Chicago, because Julius Jones ain't doing that. He's been absolutely horrible in his last 3 games. And I know it's not all his fault because of the offensive line, but some of it is. 2.3 yards per carry. And, guys, they just activated the local boy, Rick's boy, Louis Rankin, off the practice squad. And I don't think he's going to run the ball, but he is going to return kicks. And that means more playing time, finally, we would anticipate
Uh-oh.
For Justin Forsett. Look, it might not be this week against Dallas, but the fact that he's not returning kicks anymore, to me, means that he's going to get more real playing time and more fantasy time. And also, I have to say, and we mentioned this before, if your league uses return yards, Felix Jones is pretty much a must-play today. He's going to be a decent start without the return yards, but you factor in that Allen Rawson is hurt and that he's going to get at least a couple hundred return yards against Seattle. That's assuming Seattle actually finds the end zone once or twice in this game, which I think they will. And I think Felix Jones is a terrific play today for the Cowboys.
Felix Jones.
Dallas 38, Seattle 10.
Wow.
Come on.
This is going to be a last test. A couple updates coming in. John Clinton says.
Talk to us, Johnny.
He says he's Gollum.
Percy Harvin expected to go.
Okay.
Adam Schefter reporting both Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson will go.
Oh, yeah, baby. Big fantasy day for me.
For all my Jersey party people, don't worry. John Nalbone, Mammoth tight end.
He will survive.
Expected to sign to the practice squad with the Dolphins after being released.
Oh. No one scooped him up? Dallas should get him for that Mammoth connection, baby.
Yeah. Let's see, guys. Let's go back over to the chat room. By the way, you're listening to Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, brought to you by the NFL Draft Bible.com. Check them out. We're here each and every week, 8:30 to 10 Sunday mornings on the Fantasy Sports Channel, www.ffc.fm, bringing you very limited promos, as you can see. two-part question. Jamal Charles, beast or bust, guys?
I think he's a guy you want to invest in. Larry Johnson is, forget about seeing him in the Chiefs backfield anytime soon. He's gone. He's toast. So Jamal Charles is automatically the guy who's going to, you know, the number one running back in that Kansas City backfield. Take it for what it's worth.
Not Smith or Savage?
I think Colby Smith has a chance of getting some playing time. But I think Charles is the number one guy.
Agreed. I think you pick up Jamal Charles now that he knows he's going to get the bulk of the carries. I could see him, you know.
Hey, look, at the very least, you know this guy has a ton of speed, and that's something you can
And he catches the ball.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs are bad, but I don't think they're nearly the worst team in the league. I think there are several teams worse than them. So.
How about Dwayne Bowe, guys? A lot of talk he'll be out of there after the season. So far, first half of the season, Dwayne Bowe, 23 catches, 300 yards, 4 touchdowns. Does he improve on those numbers in the second half of the season?
I think he improves on it. I don't see trading him. What are you going to get for him? You know, I don't see why you would trade. And then again, they traded Tony Gonzalez.
He's good for an occasional spot start.
You know what? They get that offense going together. Yeah. Suddenly he improves. But, I mean, he's the only weapon right now.
Yeah, you know, I think the only way you trade him is, and the only way you can get something back for him is if you put him together in a package deal.
Do they have another player to package?
No, I'm talking about for fantasy purposes.
Oh, yeah.
So, other than that, I don't think you're going to get.
You're not
going to
get value.
Yeah.
JoJo back in the house. Nate Burleson or Pierre Garçon this week?
Oh, Burleson.
Yes.
I agree.
Having a good year.
Yes. He's going to have a nice game.
Better to start Mark Sanchez against the Dolphins or Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Texans?
I'll let you try first, Rev. I know what I'm saying.
I think I'm going to go with Fitzpatrick here. Just because he has more experience, he's been around the league a little bit longer. I'll go with him by default.
Little mojo going there up in Buffalo, and Houston's past D ain't exactly lighting the world on fire. The important thing is Houston does not get to the quarterback, and I think that's going to do Fitzpatrick a world of good today.
Believe it or not, I actually think the Texans-Bills game is going to be a high-scoring affair.
Oof.
Fitzgerald is not a terrible quarterback. He's heady. He's got a very poor arm. He can't throw farther than 10 yards, but he's been getting the job done. He's got a pair of wideouts in Lee Evans and Terrell Owens. Mark Sanchez, the rookie, I don't want my fantasy hopes hinging on a rookie.
So on the road.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Ryan Fitzgerald.
I'm sorry. It's home.
So, okay. Boom, boom. Knocking them out like Boom, Boom Mancini, one by one.
Rossi Bramble, baby.
Hola, Bobo, 77, need one for the flex play. Jeremy Maclin, who we just talked about, James Jones or Donald Lee. Mm. To me, this is a no-brainer. It's the return of the Mac all day long.
I agree.
The Eagles are going to be burning that.
Without question.
Yes.
Without question.
Maclin all the way here.
Okay, guys, let's get back into our matchups around.
Big one coming up.
Uh-oh,
big one.
Now.
The Super Bowl.
Hold on. Brace yourself
so you don't
fall. We got the battle for Sam Bradford. St. Louis Rams 0-7. I'm joking, guys. The Lions have Matthew Stafford 1-5. One more win than the Rams at this point of the juncture. I don't know what to make of this game, but I'll leave that off to the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, who I'm sure has some kind words after leaving church this morning.
Well, you know, here's a real battle of the Titans, and for you St. Louis fans, this could be the Rams' last chance at a win. Look at that schedule. I'm going to go with Kevin Smith. I love both running backs in this ball game, both feature backs. Kevin Smith, I love him this week. The presence of Calvin Johnson won't allow the Rams defense to key in on Smith, who goes up versus a St. Louis unit that has allowed opposing runners to score 10 times in 7 games. The Rams are also conceding 35 passing yards per game to running backs. Smith was the only part of Detroit's offense that was actually working versus Green Bay 2 weeks ago. Plus, he's one of the few real three-down backs in the NFL, so you have to go with him this week. Steven Jackson's another guy I like. He's third in the league in rushing with 635 yards, but has yet to score. But mark it down. This will be the week where Action Jackson crosses the goal line not once but twice.
Wow!
He has a bye week coming up, so the coaching staff won't be shy about giving him the ball over 30 times if necessary. The dud here, both defenses are duds in my opinion. Randy McMichael is another dud here. I mean, do you want to take a chance on a guy whose biggest week was 3 catches of 45 yards? Mark Bulger is another dud here. Shaky offensive line. We'll have Bulger running scared and throwing a lot of short passes today. The sleeper here, and I'm digging deep now, is little Danny Amendola. He's now firmly entrenched at St. Louis's slot receiver. He could take advantage of the attention given to Donnie Avery and maybe even score in the red zone. He has a chance versus the Detroit secondary, giving up a league-high 17 touchdowns. And another guy to watch out for is Brandon Gibson, of course. I like St. Louis here in a tight game, 21-20 over Detroit.
Interesting.
I'll tell you, this is a tough game to pick, but it's all about Danny Amendola, the UConn product, I believe, correct?
Texas Tech?
Okay, I'm sorry. 14 catches, 115 yards for those St. Louis Rams. And in case you're just joining us, Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson will suit up and start for the Detroit Lions. Some other news coming in. There's a feature on ESPN this morning, Outside the Lines. It's actually on right now. And the we're on Twitter, by the way, at NFL Draft Bible. And the feedback from this Tom Cable story on Outside the Lines is gaining a lot of attention on the Twitter, a lot of shots, responses.
What's the gist of the story?
Just more to the incident, more detail coming out. So keep an eye on that. Bernard Berrien, not expected to play.
Really?
So for you Vikings fans,
that's good for Percy Harvin.
Bernard Berrien is out. Percy Harvin will play, according to John Clayton. Cedric Ellis, we already knew he is out for the Saints. We have Patrick Carney. For those of you in IDP leagues, the Seahawks plan to use him as a nickel rusher. There's a report in Cleveland that Brady Quinn might get one last chance. Something to keep an eye on. I wouldn't be surprised if Joshua Cribbs throws more than both of them today. Devin Thomas, guys, he's been
quiet now.
Didn't he do something a couple weeks ago? Anyway, this is Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. We break it down each and every week, Sunday morning, Fantasy Sports Channel, NFL Draft Bible, Crime Dog in the house. I wonder if that's my crime dog. Thoughts on Bolden or Lee Evans today?
Look, Bolden's a week healthier. They're playing home against a pretty vulnerable team in Carolina. And Lee Evans, look, him and Fitzpatrick seem to have some kind of rapport going, so I kind of like Lee Evans today. But I don't dislike Bolden. You know, don't count this guy out. If there's anyone tougher in the NFL, I'd like you to show him to me.
Well, go ahead, Rick.
No, I was going to say, I think Lee Evans has certainly bounced back in the past few weeks, but still, you know, I need to see more out of Evans before I can tell you that he's a reliable week-in, week-out guy. I'm going to go with Bolden. To me, he's more of a sure thing.
If it's a choice, I go with Bolden. I didn't know it was a choice there.
Oh, okay.
All right, going shout out to Crime Dog. I'm going to assume that's Crime Dog from our fantasy league because it's all caps. Who else would do something? okay, let's see. Moving right along here on the Fantasy Football Insider Show with Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. By the way, sometimes people want to get at us. You can get us at us on Twitter at NFL Draft Bible. You can get at us on Facebook. We're over there now. NFLDraftBible.com. Appreciate the good compliments in the chat room and instant messages you guys are sending me. Thank you. And Crime Dog in the house, loving it, baby. Minnesota at Green Bay, guys. We just talked about...
Oh, Minnesota plays Green Bay this week?
Did you hear about this one? Percy Harvin will start. Who's out? Bernard Berrien's out. Percy Harvin's in. And here to dissect the analysis here is going to be Rostradamus, Ross Mandel, reverse people.
Yeah. There you go, baby. Look, Percy Harvin is going to play. I don't know if I could say the same for JerMichael Finley. He's a little banged up. I haven't heard anything other than he's going to be a game-time decision, so keep your eye on that. It is a late game, so if you have to make your decision early, I would look elsewhere for a tight end. But to me, this game comes down to two things: Minnesota's ability to rush the passer and Green Bay's inability to prevent Aaron Rodgers from getting sacked. The Packers have allowed 25 sacks of Rodgers this year. It's really amazing that he's had as good a year as he has with the lack of protection that he has. Obviously, Adrian Peterson is a stud in this game. Green Bay's run defense is average. With the injuries in the secondary that Minnesota has, I think the Vikings would be wise to keep it away from Aaron Rodgers by working Adrian Peterson all day. But I think Aaron Rodgers is still going to get his, guys. 384 yards and 2 touchdowns the last time they played, and Antoine Winfield is out. So Donald Driver, who is the number one receiver in Green Bay, sorry, Greg Jennings fans, he is. I think Driver's in for a big game as well. And so is our guy Sidney Rice, 176 yards and 136 yards the past 2 weeks. Expect him to finally find the end zone this week. And I hate to say it because I love the guy and I have him on a couple of teams, but Greg Jennings, guys, until Rodgers gets protected and is able to throw deep, he is a dud. I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, a zero reception, zero catch guy, but I would expect more 6 catches for 60 yards and no touchdowns out of Jennings until that line somehow comes together and protects Rodgers. The sweeper in this game got a couple. Percy Harvin, look, I know he's been questionable all week, but as we said before, I think that's a migraine situation for him, and he has recovered from that and will play. But now that I hear that Bernard Berrien is out, I think that leaves some room for the hero, Greg Lewis. Someone's got to be the number 3 or number 2 receiver there. And with Berrien out, I wouldn't be surprised if Favre got Lewis a little more involved there. I like Minnesota in this game in Green Bay, 24-20, guys. I don't think they're going to be able to keep Rodgers upright enough.
I'm with you on that one. I like the Vikings, you know, which means the Packers will probably win because when I picked the Packers, the Vikings won. So that's just anyway, guys, in case you didn't know, the call-in number here is 347-945-6275, 347-945-6275. We're going to go over to the phone lines right now because we have a very special guest on the line. It's none other than the Bo Nostra. In the
oh, no!
The Bo Marchante.
Straight from the underground.
Bible, baby. How you doing over there?
Hey, well, how you guys doing? You know what? I'm calling in because I need some fantasy advice this morning. I'm racking my brain on a question, so I figured what other better host guys to call than you guys. My question to you guys is, I got Ray Rice, and I got Brandon Jacobs. I got to put one of them on the bench. So do I bench Ray Rice versus Denver, or do I bench Jacobs versus the Eagles?
Ooh, you got us all scratching our heads over here, too.
I hate to say it, but Bo, by the way, should you be interviewing someone right now? What are you doing? I would bench Jacobs. I really would. I'd go with Rice. He's a dual threat.
Yeah, I think Ray Rice has a better chance of having a super game here. You know, just because I think Joe Flacco is going to have to throw him the ball a lot, you know, with that Denver pass rush coming at him. He's going to have to give him the ball a lot in the passing game. I'm going to go with Ray Rice here.
It's unanimous Ray Rice. If you go back to the archives and listen to our August shows.
Top 5, baby.
I told you, baby. I told you. Top 5 overall fantasy football running backs.
I think he's third now.
And you know, and I also told you this guy is going to be like their leading receiver. So Ray Rice is going to see Ray run, Bo, and put Jacob.
I think that's the safer play.
And one more for you guys before I – hey, Lee Evans or Lance Moore?
Who was the first guy?
Lee Evans or Lance Moore?
You know, you have to go with Lee Evans. I like Lance Moore this week, but what is he like, the number three guy in New Orleans? Whereas, you know, Lee Evans has suddenly emerged as the primary receiver there, even over Terrell Owens. Him and Fitzgerald have something going there. I think I'm going to go with Lee Evans this week.
I think that I'd rather have the number three from New Orleans than the number one from Buffalo.
Rick,
Bo? I got to go here. I think the Bills and Texans are going to be a high-scoring affair. But, again, and I'm always about the number one guy over the number three guy. But in this case, I got to go with Rostradamus here. Lance Moore, I'm rolling the dice. It's all about the upside, baby. And today that would be Lance Moore.
Certainly wouldn't be crazy to start Evans. I think it's a little riskier to start Moore, but I like the taste of that matchup. There's always a lot of points in those games.
Cool. So what's going on? You guys having a good morning? It sounds good so far.
Oh, it's week 8 holiday, baby. And before we let you go, why don't you tell the people a little bit about the End Zone show that you host?
The End Zone is on every Tuesday from 5 to 6, where we talk a little fantasy, we talk a little college football, and we talk a little pro football. And we always have players, we have guests from, we have people like Jason Locke and Ford, the NFL Network, we have guys to cover teams, we have players. Last week we had Cody Slate, the tight end from Marshall, who should be one of the coveted tight ends heading into the April draft. So always a lot to talk about. And we have our Kenny Franek man, fantasy guy. He breaks down the fantasy stuff for everybody. So like I said, we touch all the bases on the End Zone on Tuesdays from 5 to 6 o'clock.
And where are you today, Bo? Are you at any games today? I think the Steelers are on a bye this week, right?
Yeah, the Steelers are on the bye, and the Browns are in Chicago. So, no, I'm at the Niles Wastewater Plant is where I'm at today. So.
Nice.
The hotbed of wastewater plants.
Yes, the hotbed of fantasy wastewater knowledge here. So, yes, that's how I'm spending my Sunday afternoon. So.
Hey, do you see Brady Quinn down there?
he's our new labor. Yeah, he's our new labor. He's going to start next Monday. So we'll break him in, having him in some sewer holes, and having him get acquainted with his new career. You know what?
The Bo Nostra in the house, baby. Always good to hear from Bo Marchante. Check him out on the Blog Talk Radio Tuesdays, 5 to 6. Bo, take it easy, huh?
Yeah. Have a great weekend, guys. Thanks for the info. Bye.
Later, Bo.
Bye.
That's Bo Marchante, residential NFL Draft Bible alumni. He's here each and every Tuesday on Fantasy Sports Channel as well. Keeping it moving, couple things while we were on the air with Bo. DeSean Jackson over Jeremy Maclin is a no-brainer. I love Maclin this week, but it's always too cool for school, number one guy. We got a guest in the chat room, has a lot of dilemma each and every week, says every week he benches Ray Rice, he kicks himself. He has Chris Johnson, Steven Jackson, and Ray Rice. Any advice on this dilemma? I'll give you one. Trade Steve Jackson.
Trade Steven Jackson because he has a very tough schedule coming up after his bye week. So this is the week to use him, and then after this week, you trade him.
So who do you start this week then out of the three? Steven Jackson, Chris Johnson, or Ray Rice? I would start Chris Johnson and Ray Rice myself, personally.
I'd start Rice and Jackson. I'd leave Johnson on the bench this week.
You know what?
I think I'm going with Johnson and Jackson.
So there's three answers.
Okay. All right, Kevin Walter or Austin Colley? God, your team must have a terrible record.
No, you got to go with Austin Colley. You know, Kevin Walter, you know, in the past 3 weeks has become the forgotten man in that Houston offense. I mean, there's so many other options to go to. You got Johnson, obviously. You have Owen Daniels having a big week, a big year. And Slayton is catching a lot of passes, too. So where does that leave Kevin Walter?
Yeah, I don't like Walter this week at all. I think you have to go with Colley there.
Yeah, Colley all the way. Let's get into our next matchup of the week, stud duds and sleeper style. What do we got
Jets
here?
Dolphins.
We got San Francisco.
Hold your horses there, Rob.
Okay.
3-3.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Giddy up, cowboy. San Francisco, 3-3, heading into Indianapolis, where the Colts are one of the few undefeated teams remaining. King of the Hill. Peyton Manning's on fire, we know that. But on the other end, Alex Smith sighting came in last week, connected with Vernon Davis, your boy, Ralph, for 3 touchdowns. Let's talk a little impact and analysis on Alex Smith here. What do you make of this guy?
Alex Smith, well, you know, what I make out of him is just that, you know, he came in the middle of the game. I think, you know, with the Colts now having an entire week to prepare for him, I think it's going to be a little tougher this week for Alex Smith to put up the same types of numbers that he put up last week. Well, let's start here with the studs, duds, and sleepers. Joseph Addai is my number one stud here. You know, Mighty Joe has the running back position all to himself this week with Donald Brown sitting this one out. I wouldn't be worried about any token carries to Mike Hart or Chad Simpson. And Addai is great at picking up the blitz, which means he will be out there at about at least 90% of the time. And the thing you love about Addai is even when his yards per carry is down, Manning checks down to him a lot in the passing game. The former LSU back has also scored touchdowns in each of his last 4 games. He's on a roll. We have to go with Joseph Addai this week. The dud, I'm going to go with Alex Smith. I know a lot of people are excited about the unexpected resurgence of Alex Smith, but this week he faces an opponent that's had some time to watch film on him. The Colt DBs have only allowed their adversaries to throw 2 touchdowns against them, so I think the odds are stacked against Alex Smith this week. The sleeper here is Austin Collie. I think he's really emerged as a more consistent option than Pierre Garcon over the past 2 weeks. Also, Anthony Gonzalez is at least another week away from returning to the slot position. And, you know, Reggie Wayne, I know he's going to play, but he's not at full strength. So I think Austin Collie has a chance to produce this week. And I love Indy 31-17 over San Francisco this week.
Yeah, it's hard to go against the Colts the way they're playing. But San Francisco, I think this game is going to be tough, a lot closer than most people think. 2 running backs, guys, Karell Buckhalter or Beanie Wells, kind of middle-of-the-road guys. Who do you like there? And I'll tell you, I like Beanie Wells over the long haul for the course of the season. But for today's purposes, you know what? I think I might go Beanie Wells here.
Yeah, I'm going with Beanie Wells. He's going to emerge as the guy. I don't care that Tim Hightower is starting. I think that Beanie Wells looked good last week to me. He looked like
he looked like
a feature back. And to me, Buckhalter's, these guys are going in opposite directions, and they're just about to pass each other on the escalator there, and Wells is the one going up. So I'm going with Wells.
Look, I like Buckhalter. I like the way he's playing, but I want to take Wells over him. You know, if you watched that play last week where he unleashed his big stiff arm, I mean, this guy looks powerful. He's a big, sturdy back. He looks like he's getting better and better each week.
Okay, yeah, I like Beanie Wells, and when he's healthy, he's on, and right now he's healthy. Reverend, the Colts have only allowed 2 passing touchdowns all year, so do you think Frank Gore is going to do his thing today?
I like Frank Gore's chances to have a decent game, not a bust-out game, but you know, as I said before, 70 to 80 yards and a touchdown, I could see that. I mean, Steven Jackson had no problems gaining yards on the Colts last week, so I could see Gore having a good week.
Mark Sanchez or Ryan Fitzpatrick, we did that question already. We took Ryan Fitzpatrick unanimously. So there you have that. Let's go and talk about that, Mark Sanchez, Ralph, because the Jets floundering, I might say. I mean, they beat the Raiders 38-0, but, you know, that doesn't count.
Does it actually count in the standings?
No, it doesn't count.
Half a game.
You know, they won 3, they lost 3, they beat the Raiders, and now they have a revenge game against the Dolphins, who handled the Jets quite not easily, but that Wildcat got them good, 31-27, down in Miami, I should say, and the Dolphins 2-4, clinging on to their season, visiting the Jets 4-3, who, let's be honest here, if they want to make the playoffs, this is a game that they need to win.
Yes, absolutely. And the big question here is, will Rex Ryan adjust to the Wildcat and start blitzing his corners more like New Orleans did last week? Studs, duds, and sleepers, look, you have to go with Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams versus the Jets defense ranked 22nd versus the run, and now missing nose tackle extraordinaire Chris Jenkins for the season. I also like Thomas Jones, though. You know, always go with your hot players, regardless of the matchup in most cases. And Jones has over 300 yards in his last two games, has scored 5 touchdowns in his last 4 games. Yes, Miami is a top-5 defense versus the run, but the Jets have the type of offensive line that can create running lanes versus just about any team. The dud here is Chad Henne. The second-year man had an amazing performance in his last matchup with Gangrene, but now he is on the road. And I expect the Fish to employ a run-heavy attack. Plus, the Jets are a pretty stingy group when it comes to giving up fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Henne started strong last week versus New Orleans, but faded in the third and fourth quarters when the pressure increased. The sleeper here, and we touched upon this guy early in the show, Jericho Cotchery. He's coming back from a hamstring injury, but he goes up versus 2 rookie corners, and I think he has the potential to get open early and often, and Sanchez has showed that he loves to throw the ball to Cotchery. He targets him a lot. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, a lot of running involved. I see the Jets pulling this one out, 19-17.
Okay, any thoughts on who's going to win this matchup, Ross?
I'm going with the Fish, baby. 26-20, and that's not because I have hate for the Jets. I don't like what I've seen from the Jets when they faced, you know, recently good opposition. But the weather today is going to be all right. It's not windy or swirling, but if it is, you know, my man Sanchez can't deal with that.
I think the Jets' defense is too banged up, and I think the Dolphins are going to take it again.
Yeah, missing Chris Jenkins against the Wildcat is not good.
Okay, guys, I'm going to give you a Brian Westbrook update in a second, but first, I want to let you know you are listening to Fantasy Football Insiders Radio each and every Sunday morning, 8:30 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Fantasy Sports Channel. That's www.fsc.fm. If you're thirsty for football knowledge, information, content, go to the NFLDraftBible.com. It's where the NFL and college football collide. We have NFL news. We have NFL draft news. We have NCAA news. We have UFL news. We've got the College Football Insiders newsletter. We got the Fantasy Football Insiders. Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, hard-hitting news and analysis each and every day. That's how we do it at the NFL Draft Bible. Now, we're going to talk about the New York Giants at Philadelphia Eagles later in the show, but it has just been announced, as per our friend Adam Schefter, that Brian Westbrook will not play today.
No surprise.
Against the Giants. Guys, we talked about it earlier, LeSean McCoy, he just got a boost of Red Bull to his fantasy stock. How much more do you like him now?
Well, I went into this thinking that McCoy was going to be the one to get all the carries and Westbrook wouldn't play. I think McCoy's got great value. I think he's going to catch a lot of passes out of the backfield. The Giants have not been able to deal with really anyone's passing game of late because they can't get to the passer. And I think that inability is going to continue today. And I think McCoy's going to be part of a very large Eagles offensive output.
Well, you know, this week I see McCoy as a deep flex play. I don't see him going off in this game, just based on the fact that, you know, I don't think he looked great last week. He looked hesitant at times, and he didn't look great in picking up the blitz. So I think that the Eagles are going to start using some of their other running backs also. So I don't think, as I said before, I don't think McCoy is going to be the big plow horse in this one.
I'm going to say right now, over 100 yards, total offense and a touchdown. Give me numbers.
I'll give you a number. I'll give you about 55 yards rushing and about 20 yards receiving.
No touchdown.
The receiving yards are going to outweigh the rushing.
He's going to have like 70 yards receiving at least.
Okay. Malcolm Floyd in the middle.
Holler.
Or Donnie Avery this week. To me, this is a no-brainer. Donnie Avery hands down.
It is. I like Floyd, but let's not get cute.
Well, you know, Floyd is a guy you want to pick up and keep on your bench because I think he's going to emerge later in the season. Chris Chambers is just absolute garbage this season.
When you say emerge, I mean, what kind of numbers are you expecting?
Well, I mean, I'm expecting him to be in that starting lineup because Chris Chambers is not doing a darn thing this year. As far as numbers go, it depends on the matchup from week to week.
Yeah, I think Chambers is mentally checked out, and I think Floyd is mentally checked in. I think Rivers likes him. He's a nice big target who actually reaches for the ball, unlike Chris Chambers these days. I think Floyd starts. I wouldn't be shocked to see him get more playing time today.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think for today, Avery against Detroit is a nice one.
We just mentioned Brian Westbrook will not play. Some other news and notes, Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford will play. Percy Harvin will play. Bernard Berrien won't play. LeSean McCoy, Marion Barber, or Frank Gore, how do you rank these guys?
I'm going to go with Gore as my number one guy. Look, you know what you're going to get out of Frank Gore. You know he's going to get about 90 to 95% of the carries in that San Francisco offense. I think he's a safe bet here.
Yeah, average per touch doesn't matter. What matters is the amount of touches and the amount of chances to score, and I think you got to go with Gore.
Okay, guys, what about another player that a lot of fantasy football owners have mixed reactions about? I see this guy getting traded, overpaid for, I don't know, but you tell me, Miles Austin, is this guy legit or is this real or mirage?
Well, I mean, honestly, what more do you need to show that this guy's legit? He's getting the number one targets, he's getting the number one yardage, and he's producing because he's gotten an opportunity to play in the absence of Roy Williams. I think this guy is a number one receiver.
Yeah, look, I mean, you take a look at that Cowboys offense. When your other options are Roy Williams and Patrick Creighton, I mean, Austin, Miles Austin is the number one, no doubt, number one receiver on that team. And, you know, look, you could say what you want about Tony Romo. He makes a lot of stupid mistakes, but he also throws for a lot of yards. And so in that offense, I like Miles Austin to be a good I would say number one or number two. I'd say like a number one receiver at this point.
You know what the weird thing is? I was looking at the Dallas-Seattle game. Seattle has actually thrown for more touchdowns than Dallas this year. To me, that's weird.
There you have it. All right, let's get into our next matchup. Ross, this one's for you. And, you know, I got to say, I was a bit surprised when I answered my door yesterday and the trick-or-treaters, there was Jamarcus Russell with the Joker's mask on. And, you know.
What did you give him, some interceptions?
2 years in a row, he came dressed up as the Joker.
Unless you were handing out clues, he's not going to get any better.
The Chargers on the bye week this week, 3-3. Hosting the Raiders 2-5, we did mention outside the lines. I did not see it. None of us did because we were on the air. But outside the lines apparently aired quite an interesting feature on more details with the whole Tom Cable situation. Seems like the whole season this has been hanging over the organization.
Always.
You got to wonder if Al Davis really regrets bringing this guy back as the head coach of the football
team. He'll never tell you he does.
boy, what a mess. Wanted to break it down for the people, Ross.
I'll tell you what's going to get broken down. That's Oakland today. Look, San Diego's the kind of team that feasts off bad teams. That's how they make their living. I love Rivers. I love Gates. I love Vincent Jackson. He's a top five receiver that's kind of flying under the radar as far as getting the props that he deserves. And look, I don't care if Vincent Jackson dresses up as Michael Jackson. He's going to have 100-plus yards and at least a touchdown today. But to me, the real stud of this game, just like the Cowboys game, is the San Diego defense. Oakland's offense, anyone who watched more than five plays of that Jet game last week has to know that Jamarcus Russell should not be playing and that he is a turnover machine, a defensive delight if you're playing against him. It's just terrible. The dud, obviously, Russell. I don't like Michael Bush today. He's not getting enough for that split. And actually, Justin Fargas looked good against the Jets, or I guess as good as you can with eight carries. San Diego's run defense is suspect, so I actually think Fargas could post some decent numbers if Oakland keeps that game close for, say, a quarter. I mean, that's really what you're asking for. I think we just talked about this guy. My sleeper in this game is Malcolm Floyd. Forget Chris Chambers. Floyd's the number two receiver, if not in starting status, at least in reality on the field. And I think Rivers throws the ball so much that even with Gates and Vincent Jackson in there and Sproles and what's his name, that other running back, I think there's room for Malcolm Floyd to come down with, say, 6-7 catches for 80 yards, maybe a touchdown. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility as San Diego rolls 34-6. Break it.
Okay, guys. I'm just getting some of the details about the whole Tom Cable incident here, and apparently, he's had some violence with some women in his life.
Here we go.
His ex-wife is now coming out about a protection order against him in 1989, saying he ripped the phone out of the wall.
Come on, man. It's 20 years ago.
Then there's another woman coming out that said she dated Cable before his marriage, before his third wife in May. Also accusing Tom Cable of being violent with her. She did not press charges, but there was a police report. allegedly he grabbed her by the left arm, causing her to fall to the ground. I think you have some woman now.
Was he Superman?
Coming out of the woodwork.
Come on.
Like the woman in Harris with Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, my problem is the guy can't coach.
I guess his second wife in the divorce papers alleged that he was physically abusive towards him. So there you have it. You got three girls coming out of the
woodwork. Sounds like a great guy.
So there you have it. In other news, Mario Manningham is good to go. Reggie Wayne is good to go. Percy Harvin's good to go. Bernard Berrien's out. Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson are going. So there's the latest and the greatest. As we keep it moving here on the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show, want to give a shout-out to John Murphy of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the NFL Draft Bible alumni. John Murphy used to be our director of college scouting. And last year, as an assistant general manager with the Stampeders, they won the Grey Cup. And then this year, he took over as the general manager for the Blue Bombers, who were the worst team in the league. Now 7-9, if they win today, could actually eke into the playoffs. So we're going to give a shout-out to our CFL folks. Let's see what else we got going on. NFLDraftBible.com, Can't Stop, Won't Stop, CollegeFootballInsiders.com, get your College Football Insiders newsletter. Fantasy Football Insiders all week long on the NFL Draft Bible. Check that out. And let's get into, I think the chat room, we're pretty much caught up in there. Let's go into, guys, the Jacksonville Jaguars, 3-3, coming off the bye week, going into Tennessee, 0-6, also coming off the bye week. And a little changing of the guard here, Ralph, where Vince Young is now taking over the reins in Tennessee. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, Vince Young, look, he's still young enough to improve. Look, I'm not too high on the guy. I don't think he's a pocket passer. I think he's a better runner than passer. But this week, I don't think he should have any problems throwing the ball. I mean, Jacksonville will be without Rasheem Mathis, their best cornerback. And when you talk about Jacksonville and Tennessee, you're talking about two teams with probably the worst pass defenses in the NFL. So I think both passers should be able to complete some throws here. I love Mike Sims-Walker in this game. He torched Tennessee for 91 yards and two scores earlier in the season. Look for some more good times from the dynamite wideout versus the Tennessee secondary that's been getting abused with their starters and with their reserves in the lineup. Courtland Finnegan is questionable. Nick Harper is not expected to play, but it won't matter because MSW has had his big game in week four versus Finnegan, with Finnegan covering him in the lineup. So I think Walker has another great game this week. And believe it or not, I also like Torrey Holt in this game. I think he has a great matchup. He matches up with rookie Jason McCourty, who has been really struggling this year. So I think Holt, with his route running, with his savvy, I think he should be able to get open and maybe even catch 5, 6, maybe even 7 passes this week. The dud here is Mercedes Lewis. This guy's totally unreliable. Has 18 yards combined in his last two games. He's generally a slow guy. He's shown the tendency to drop catchable passes. I think he's too risky to go with. The sleeper here is another tight end, Mr. Bo Scafie, who was banged up earlier in the year. Had a bad performance versus New England 2 weeks ago with a couple of drops, but Vince Young likes going to his fellow Texas Longhorn quite often.
Yep.
In fact, back in 2007, Scafie caught over 50 passes with Vince Young in the starting lineup. Plus, the Jaguars ranked second to last versus the pass, so I think this is a good week to take a chance, roll the dice on Mr. Bo Scafie. I like the Titans in this one, 30-28 in a high-scoring affair.
Wow, you like Vince Young to get the job done, huh?
Yeah, I don't like any of these defenses.
I don't know. I think Jacksonville is going to rout them. I think Maurice Jones-Drew is going to have a monster day. That's what I got for you.
I hear you.
All right, guys. We're breaking it down. We're getting down to the last 15 minutes. Tony Cincotta coming up at 10 o'clock at the top of the hour. ESPN affiliate here on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Great show. Make sure you check him out. Missing the Taz today. No fantasy Taz, but we'll give him a plug anyway. FantasyFootballWiz.com, NFLDraftBible.com, FSC.FM, that's the FantasySportsChannel.com. Anyone else who wants a plug, drop me a line. No problem. all right, guys. Let's keep it moving. Anquan Boldin, guys. Here's a guy. Okay, I just traded Ed Reed for Anquan Boldin and Brian Dawkins. Okay, we, you know, he played last week, banged up, 3 catches, 75 yards. I think he's a risky play for the next few weeks with this ankle injury or whatever he has is going to hobble him. But I think down the stretch run, the long haul, Anquan Boldin is a good player to stash away if you can afford to do so. What's your thoughts on this guy?
I love his upside. I love Anquan Boldin. He's one of my favorite players. You know, the problem with Boldin is that he's a tightly muscled guy, so he always runs the risk of pulling a hamstring or having some type of ankle injury. You know, but when he's healthy, to me, he's a top 10 playmaker in the NFL.
I don't disagree with you at all, Rev, and I think this is a perfect time to buy low on Boldin.
Yeah, and I agree. And we're going to talk about the Panthers and Cardinals game coming up right now, actually. And IQSportsGroup.com wants to get in on the free plug, so we're going to give them one. IQSportsGroup.com. Check them out. Okay.
There you go.
Free plugs over here. Let's talk about the Anquan Boldin Cardinals, 4-2, Ross, hosting the Carolina Panthers, 2-4. You know, John Fox's seat has been hot for quite a while, and now Jake Delhomme's seat is heating up, and there's a lot of talk whether or not he should be benched, and I'm not even sure they even know who they would bench for him. I mean, who would they bench? Would they start Matt Moore, A.J. Field, Josh McCown? I don't even know, to tell you the truth, but what's the situation here in Carolina?
Yeah, really, I think if the Panthers had any confidence in any of those backup guys, they would be starting this week. To me, it's clear they don't, and Fox has now tied himself to Jake Delhomme, and I think they're both just going to put the cinder blocks on their feet and go down to the bottom because this is not coming back in Carolina this year. Look, 4 touchdowns and 14 picks. That's the Carolina passing attack this year. You can't like that. Look, Jonathan Stewart will play despite the heel injury. Steve Breston is probable despite the knee. He's getting a little healthier, as is Anquan Boldin. That means danger to the rest of the NFL. And count these guys out at your own peril, because I think right now in the NFC, I wouldn't want to play the Cardinals in the playoffs. And I know I'm anticipating they're going to make it. I am. That defense is looking sharp. In this game, I don't care how good the Cards defense is looking. D'Angelo Williams is a must start. This is the guy who plays every week. I don't care how great the Arizona run defense is, allegedly. I think he's definitely a guy you play, as is Kurt Warner, have a good day. Larry Fitzgerald, obviously. Those are three guys who you will always start. And I like Anquan Boldin today, guys. I think he's a tough guy. He's healthier. I think he's going to improve on a weekly basis. I also happen to like Carolina Steve Smith today. I think that the Giants showed one thing. You can shake free and get open deep against the Arizona Cardinals. Eli Manning just wasn't able to connect. Somehow I think Steve Smith will find a way to haul in one of those errant Jake Delhomme passes for a deep touchdown, maybe two today. But you can't like Jake Delhomme in this game. He's playing terribly, and it's come full circle because his terrible play started against these same Cardinals in the playoffs last year. If he starts poorly, guys, it would not surprise me at all to see him benched in this game and thrown into the back of the cupboard and done forever in Carolina. Maybe Matt Moore gets a shot. I don't know. Look, Tim Hightower, to me, is also a dud. He's going to see less carries in this game than Beanie Wells. And even though he's starting for the Cardinals in name only, he is not worth starting on your fantasy team. But my sleeper today is Beanie Wells. He looked good against the Giants, and there's room for a running back to score fantasy points on this team via through the air or on the ground. I think if you have a bye week quarterback coming up in the next few weeks, and there's no one left in your fantasy league, dig deep. Pick up Matt Moore or A.J. Feely, because I don't think I pick up Matt Moore because I think he's actually going to see some time today if Delhomme does not come out of the gate strong. And I like the Cardinals in this game 31-16.
I like the Cardinals so much so that this could be the beginning of the end. I think the beginning of the end already started, but don't be surprised if John Fox doesn't even make it through the season.
No, I don't think they'll do that in Carolina. That's a concern.
Well, I'm looking to my crystal ball, and I can definitely see Bill Cowher being the head guy.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
That little Carolina connection.
Yeah, hell yeah. All right. Mario Manningham says he'll play. In case we'll get you caught up real quick on some do's and don'ts. Percy Harvin is in. Bernard Berrien is out. Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford are in. Andre Johnson is playing. Mr. Butterfinger himself, Mario Manningham, is playing. How about this one, guys? More help on the way in Buffalo. Roscoe Parris benched in favor of Stevie Johnson, wide receiver there.
I can name 10 teams that could use Roscoe Parish right now.
Yeah, but he's been fumbling the ball a lot.
Yeah, I know. It's Buffalo. He's fumbled a couple of times.
I like what I've seen out of Stevie Johnson.
I do too.
You know?
Well, we were counting him last year.
Oh, yeah.
Paper.
Yeah, so something to keep an eye on. This Tom Cable story is all over Twitter. I guess some ex-girlfriends and former wife came out saying he was physically...
Allegedly.
Everybody loves Tom.
And that's what's happening from around the league. That's the news and notes. We got a couple more matchups here that we're going to break down.
Big time.
Jokers in 99, not Jamarcus Russell. Would you trade Marshawn Lynch and Deshaun Jackson for Ocho Cinco?
And Deshaun Jackson? That's too
much. He has Maurice Jones-Drew, Ray Rice, and Ricky Williams. He wants to trade Marshawn Lynch and Deshaun Jackson for Ocho Cinco.
That's too. I love Ocho, but that's too much for Ocho Cinco.
I almost think Deshaun Jackson's a better option.
He's not.
Than Ocho Cinco.
He's not.
They're close. I think they're very close.
There's no bigger Ocho fan than me, and I don't think I would make that deal. Lynch is a viable fantasy player.
No, he's not. Lynch has no value at all.
Why not?
But still, he's the number one runner, though.
But he has no value to me. I don't know.
Okay, look, this is what I say.
The thing is, Lynch is a throw-in in this deal. Would you rather have Deshaun Jackson or Ocho Cinco?
I'd rather have Ocho Cinco.
Look, either way, you have to have another player throw into this deal. Make it a two for two.
I don't think so. If you think in your heart that Ocho Cinco is a better player, fantasy-wise, than Deshaun Jackson, you make that
trade. I don't think he's that much better, though.
Okay, I mean, Marshawn Lynch is irrelevant, in my opinion. 2 weeks ago, he almost had Bolden from Manningham. Now he's got to give up Barber and Manningham for Bolden. Would you do that?
Yeah, I would do that.
Okay. Yeah. Marion Barber is being treated as an eighth and ninth inning guy. I mean, he's coming in the fourth quarter, and he doesn't look completely right to me.
No.
And they have options there.
He hasn't been 100% all year.
And I'm not high on Manny.
All right. Well, right here in New York, there's a lot of hype going on between this whole day with Philadelphia and New York. And right now we're going to talk about the football side of things because that's what we do here on All Access Football. New York Giants, Ross, your boys, 5-2, coming off back-to-back embarrassing losses, I might say, against New Orleans and Arizona. Is there yet another team better than the Giants in the NFC? That would be Philadelphia Eagles, 4-2, coming off a lashing of the Redskins last week, 27-17. Take it away, my friend.
Well, I don't know that the Eagles are necessarily better than the Giants, but I happen to think they will be on this day. To me, the stud in this game is Donovan McNabb. He kills the Giants. Kills them. And with Westbrook not playing, I think Andy Reid's going to be more than happy to just pass. That means a lot of yards for McNabb. I think he has something like a 14-1 touchdown interception ratio over the last several games against the Giants, which is crazy. I like Brandon Jacobs and LeSean McCoy, but not as much as I like Donovan McNabb in this game. Jacobs came alive last week, and McCoy's upside is there from a fantasy perspective as far as receptions and getting into the end zone. But I think McNabb is the stud in this game. I also like Deshaun Jackson and Jeremy Maclin. I think they're going to be able to get deep against the Giants secondary. I don't like this from a defensive standpoint as far as being a Giant fan at all. To me, my dud is Eli Manning. And that's not to say that you shouldn't start him if you have like a Vince Young or a Mark Sanchez as your other quarterbacks on a bye week. But Manning flat out has not played well recently. And he never has a great fantasy day against Philadelphia. I think he had 12 touchdowns and 10 picks in the 10 games against Philly. And until he shows me that he can handle the pass rush and all the blitzing that he's going to face and gets back to throwing the short intermediate routes instead of always just throwing it deep, the New York offense and the Giants in general are going to suffer. Why do you think the Giants were doing so well? Because Steve Smith was catching 8, 9, 10-yard passes and turning them into 15- and 20-yard gains. Last week, the week before, Manning just threw deep on single coverage inaccurately. Balls were dropped. Routes weren't run properly. The deeper the ball, the more perfect everything has to be. Keep it short. Keep it simple, Eli. I know you're listening. Look, to me, the sleeper in this game, I know Mario Manningham has been the number two guy, and he's going to play this week, but I like Hakeem Nicks in this game. He scored in four games in a row, and look, I don't care that last week's was a lucky deflection. Certain players have a knack for getting those lucky deflections come to them, and Hakeem Nicks, to me, is one of those guys. He's a big-time weapon. He's used in the red zone. Don't be shocked if he reels in another deep pass and another long touchdown against the Eagles, but it will not be enough in this half of the New York-Philly duo of games this day. The Eagles will get the better of the Giants 27-16.
Well, that'll be quite a loss. Three in a row for Big Blue, and I don't know if they can recover from that.
Yeah, they'll recover.
All right. Monday Night Football. It's a good one. Atlanta Falcons 4-2. A lot of people's favorites coming into the season. Perrier Jerry lost him at defensive tackle. Big loss, but still in the thick of things. Disappointing loss to Cowboys, 37-21 last week, but still 4-2. Traveling into New Orleans, looking to deal the Saints their first loss, who are 6-0, coming off a 46-34 shootout against Miami. And four times this year, the Saints have actually put up over 40 points. Will it be another one this week, Reverend?
So it was a good one when Drew Brees is in the house. I love Marcus Colston in this game. He is my number one stud. I think he's going to take advantage of his mismatch versus Atlanta's undersized secondary. He scored in each of his last two games. Plus, he had another touchdown overturned last week versus Miami. Colston doesn't always, doesn't always beat cornerbacks on the outside, but Atlanta has issues in man-to-man coverage and has issues getting to the quarterback, which means that Colston will get open for maybe one, for definitely one, maybe even two touchdowns in this game. The dud here is Tony Gonzalez. Over his past four games, Gonzo has 15 receptions, 160 yards, and only one touchdown. The Saints feature a couple of tough safeties in Roman Harper and Darren Sharper that have been key in limiting opposing tight ends to three receptions for 26 yards per week. No defense is better at shutting down the tight end than the New Orleans Saints. The sleeper here, I have two of them. We talked about this guy before. That's Mr. Lance Moore, Ross's guy. He's been inconsistent, but he goes up. But he goes up versus a weak Atlanta secondary. They're giving up the seventh most passing yards to opposing passing games. And I also like Mike Bell, the goal line runner, should be a lock to score in this one. The Saints' running attack ranks slightly ahead of their passing game, believe it or not. And look, the thing is that another reason why the Saints are running it more is because they have Jermon Bushrod and Jonathan Stinchcomb at tackle. You know, those guys aren't, you know, the best guys versus the pass rush. So that's one of the reasons why their running game has been really strong. And I love Mike Bell in this matchup. I like New Orleans, obviously, here, 31-22.
Someone sound the bell, baby. We went the distance again. Back at it again next Sunday morning. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. Watch
Ladies
out for my
and
man,
gentlemen,
Brad Hoover's show.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome to the big show. Simply
we'll be right back. now, pump it up, up.
Breaks a couple of tackles. Headlock, it'll go! Headlock, it'll go! He could!